this is your old chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly, presenting America's Famous Quiz Kids. Well, we have a lot of interesting questions in store for you today, and also a former quiz kid whom I'll introduce later on. So let's get right down to work, quiz kids. Here's your first question. Listen, judging by his name alone, what delegate to the United Nations could you locate geographically? Now, while you and our listeners are thinking about that one, let's have roll call. So first, we'll start off with Joel.
I'm Joel Kupperman. I'm 14 years old, and I'm a junior at Roosevelt High School.
Patrick.
I'm Patrick Owen Conlon. I'm 13 years old, and in the fall, I'll be a freshman at Calumet High School in Chicago.
Lonnie.
I'm Lonnie Lundy. I'm 14 years old, and in the fall, I'll be a sophomore at Maine Township High School in Park Ridge, Illinois.
Harvey?
I'm Harvey Deitch. I'm 7 years old. I go to Hibbert School, and I'm in grade 3B.
And little Frankie.
I'm Frankie Van der Ploeg. I'm 6 years old, and I'm at 1B at the Mount Vernon School, Chicago, Illinois.
That's a boy, Frankie. Well, have you kids figured out that first question? Judging by his name alone, what delegate to the United Nations could you locate geographically? We have three hands up. Pat's hand was first.
Well, it might be Warren Austin, because Austin is the capital of Texas. Austin,
that's
Texas.
A boy. That's the correct answer, Patty. Yes, sir. Now, our organist, Uncle Lou Webb, is going to help us out with this question, children. If a news commentator used these musical selections as an appropriate background for his newscast, what recent news events would he most likely have been discussing? Here's the first one. Joel?
That's over the wave, so that'd probably be the shipments of United States troops to Korea.
Well, that's right. Now, wait a minute. Pat has his hand
up. Well, it might
up.
Also be the swimming of the English Channel by Florence Chadwick.
That's also correct. Very good. Uh-huh. Now, let's see what this next one lends itself to. Lonnie?
That's Brahms' lullaby, which is sung to babies, so it'd probably be the birth of Elizabeth's newest baby.
That's very good, Lonnie, very good. And now, Uncle Lou, it will play two songs for this last part. What one news item do they bring to mind? Patty?
Well, that first song was East Side, West Side, or the Sidewalks of New York.
Right.
And the second song was South of the Border.
So? What one news item? Joel, you had your hand up.
Oh, I was just on the song title.
Oh, Pat?
Well, that might be about the Yanks coming to Korea, going south of the border.
Well, that's all right, Pat. I'm thinking of another answer. Joel?
Well, could it be the International Trade Fair that people from Mexico are coming to all over Chicago?
Well, I'll tell you, kids are warm, and I'm going to tell you the answer I have on my card. Those two tunes really suggest the announcement that Mayor William O'Dwyer of New York will resign to accept appointment as the new United States ambassador to Mexico. Yeah. The Senate will probably get this nomination of O'Dwyer from President Truman sometime in September. Well, that's a miss, but then, after all, not exactly a complete miss. Let's go along here to our next question. If you were going to be a modern Tom Sawyer and sail the full length of the Mississippi, what states would you pass on the east and the west? Frankie.
On the east side, you might find Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois, and Minnesota. I said that.
Well, you said
Kentucky,
that, yes.
Kentucky and Tennessee.
I thought maybe we were turning around there.
And Mississippi.
The what?
And there's Mississippi. That's a state.
Yes. Oh, yes. And a very good one, too.
Yes. And then there's Louisiana.
Yes.
And on the west side, there's Minnesota.
Yes.
And Iowa.
Iowa.
And Missouri.
Missouri.
And Arkansas. And Louisiana. And Missouri's a quite an important state because President Truman, he's our president, and he came from Missouri.
You bet he did, Frankie. Yes, sir. Betcha, and I just hope that all the folks in the state of Missouri are listening this afternoon, too. Yeah. All right. That was very, very good for a little six-year-old boy. I think that was tremendous. Now, recently, Time magazine published a list of 26 dates as the most important dates in world history. I'm going to give you children three of the dates, and you are to try to tell me what important event occurred in each of them. Now, first, the year 476 is significant for what, Joel?
Well, that was the capture of Rome by the barbarians.
Right. Uh-huh. Why is 1453 significant? Pat?
Well, I think that was the fall of Constantinople, wasn't it?
It certainly was. Uh-huh. What important event took place in 1588? Pat?
Well, Drake destroyed the Spanish Armada.
Right, that's correct. Now, look, listen, beginning with the French Revolution, what dates do you think should be included in the list of most important dates in world history? Joel?
Well, in 1789, French Revolution, of course.
That's right, we're starting there.
And this is my opinion, of course.
All right,
in 1848, there'd be the revolutions all over Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And, in 1870, the Franco-Prussian War.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wait a second. In 1837, going back a little, the freeing of the slaves in the British Empire.
Uh-huh.
And in, 1882, the Alliance.
Yes, the Triple Alliance. All right.
And 1907, the Triple Entente.
Yes.
And 1914, the beginning of the World War.
Mm-hmm.
And 1919, the 14 points. And 1939, the invasion of the invasion of Poland by Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And 1945, the first atom bomb.
Well, say, those are all very, very important, Joel. Uh-huh. And, Pat, have you thought...
Well, Joel certainly didn't leave much to be said.
No.
But I can remember the Louisiana Purchase in 1803.
Uh-huh.
And the Civil War, of course. I don't think Joel mentioned that in 1860.
No, he didn't. That's right. Lonnie?
Well, also 1898, the Spanish-American War. And I think that the formation of the League of Nations, of course, Joel mentioned the 14 points.
Yes. Uh-huh. All right, kids. Well, say, you certainly came out of that... with flying colors. Now, I think it's about time to have a little recess, and I'll tell you what. I think we should all be interested in hearing about Quiz Kid Harvey's exciting week. You know, friends, little Harvey spent several days in Philadelphia as the guest of Mr. Frank Wiener, the Philadelphia Zoological Gardens and radio station WPTZ. Harvey was there especially to see the new novel Birdhouse, and he appeared on several radio programs, even gave a talk to the birds, on birds, pardon me, Harvey. Yeah, but I think it'd be better to have Harvey tell us all about it. How about that, Harvey?
Okay. Well, when we reached that, we flew to Philadelphia. When we reached the airport over at Philadelphia, Mr. Frank Wiener there was... there to greet me, and,
uh-huh.
and Pandora, the trained chimpanzee. Then after that, we had
tell
a...
Tell me, did Pandora shake hands with you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, what do you know about that? All right, continue.
We had a police escort all the way to the mayor's hall there.
Wow.
And then we went the next... That night, we went over to the ball game
the
Phillies.
Ball game, uh-huh.
Phillies. I went down to the dugout
and talked to Andy
Simonek and Joe Simmons.
Well, what do you know about that? And what else now?
And then the next day we went to the zoo. I called Jimmy the hippopotamus up.
Oh.
And
what do you mean you called him up?
Yeah, out of the water.
I see. I thought there was a telephone connection there. All right, go ahead.
and then I fed the seals.
Fed the seals.
Mm-hmm. Then we went to the birdhouse. The birds aren't caged in there.
But they still stay in their place because it's just like their national habitat.
Oh, well, isn't that interesting?
And what you said about talking to the birds.
Yeah?
Well, one bird I did talk to, and that was the minor bird there.
The minor bird. So you talked to it. Well,
yeah,
what
he talked back.
He talked back? What did he say?
He said, hi, Joel.
He did?
Yeah.
Well,
his name was Joe, in fact.
Huh?
His name was Joe.
Oh, now, Harvey, was it really?
Yeah.
he was an old bird like me, though, I bet. Well, say, by the way, do you notice anything today, Harvey? Harvey brought back a tie for teacher. Yeah, the old chief quizzer. Kelly Green with a black background. And, Harvey, I'm just so thrilled with this, and Mrs. Kelly likes it, too. And she said, you better wear that today so Harvey can see it, see?
Mm-hmm.
So, looks pretty nice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Then we
went to the reptile house.
Oh, you did?
There, yeah. I had a snake around my neck.
A snake?
Mm-hmm.
What kind?
I'm not sure. I think it was king snake.
Oh, dear. Well, and wiggled out of that, I suppose.
We had a turtle ride, too.
A turtle ride?
Mm-hmm.
You mean on a very big tortoise-like? Or...
Yeah. Too bad I couldn't get the fast-moving one there. He was inside the house, sleeping. But the slowest there was out.
Oh, so you got the real slow one, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's the no-worry way, yes, sir. Well, Harvey, is that about all that you want to say?
Almost.
Oh, yes. Well, I thought there was something else.
Yeah, then we went on the trip home. It was kind of bumpy.
Kind of bumpy?
Mm-hmm. Going down, you know, over the hills and everything.
Oh, you mean up in the air?
Mm-hmm.
The air hills. I get it, yes. Uh-huh. And who took you down? Who went down with you?
What do you mean, who went down with me?
Well, who went down to Philadelphia and back? Who took you down there?
To Philadelphia? Well, the pilot, of course.
Well, I know, but... I know, but who beside the pilot? Who brought you from home?
That was Mr. Frank Wiener.
No, I mean before you got down there from Chicago.
Huh?
Who brought you from home here in Chicago?
My mom.
Your mom, yeah, that's what I thought, yeah. Oh, dear. Well, you had a fine time, and I'm glad your mother went along with you, too. I'll bet she enjoyed herself. Now, shall we go along with more questions, Harvey, or do you have anything else?
No, I don't think so.
All right, fine. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks again for the tie. I like it very, very much. It's my favorite color, huh?
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, now, back to more questions. Now that the canning season is here... Let's suppose that a housewife went to the grocer and bought some peaches for $2.50. If the grocer had given her 10 peaches more for the same money, the peaches would have been 10 cents a dozen cheaper. Now then, how many peaches did she buy, and what was the price per dozen? Joel?
Well, letting X equal the amount of peaches she got...
Yes.
Then you'd have the price per dozen would be 250 over X over 12, or 3,000 over X.
Yeah.
So then you could have in the equation 3,000 over X equals 3,000 over X plus 10, the fraction, plus 10, which would be the difference in price per dozen.
That's what I say, yeah.
And multiplying out, you get the 3,000 X's cancel out.
Yeah.
So you get 30,000 equals 10x squared plus 100x,
mm-hmm.
or 3,000 equals x squared plus 10x, so x squared plus 10x minus 3,000 equals 0. So let's see, x plus 60 times x minus 50 in parentheses equals 0, so x equals 50, so she got 50 peaches.
That's right, 50 peaches.
And so the price per peach would be 5 cents, and the price per dozen would be 60 cents.
And a boy, Joel, that's fine. Oh, that's fine and dandy. That's wonderful, Joel. It certainly is. Now then, we're going to try something different on this Shakespeare question, kids. You must identify the following quotations and the character speaking. But instead of reading the quotation correctly, I'm going to read it backwards. That ought to be very difficult and confusing, not only to you and all of our listeners, but to me, too. All right, now this first one is an easy one, just to get you children started. Question, the is that be to not or be to? Ronnie?
Well, that's to be or not to be. That is a question from Hamlet. I'm not sure who said it. I believe Hamlet himself said it.
That's right, Hamlet himself. Uh-huh. All right, now here's the next one. Hand little this sweet knot. Will Arabia of perfumes thee all? Sounds silly, doesn't it, Pat?
Well, Lady Macbeth said it, and it's kind of long for me to translate from front to back now, but Lady Macbeth said that in Macbeth.
That's right, and you couldn't tell me... Just...
Well, all the perfumes of Arabia not sweeten this little hand,
I think. That's right, uh-huh. And now here is the last one. Sweet as smell would name other any by rose a call we which that name a in what? Ronnie.
Well, I'm not sure who said it to who, but the quotation is from Romeo and Juliet.
That's right. And Joel?
Juliet said it to Romeo. No, she said it to the moon sword, to speak. He was listening,
to Romeo. So, can you...
Rose by any other name would smell so sweet.
Well, it starts out with... I read it backwards there. What's in a name? That which we call a rose. Yeah, that's all right. That's good enough for me. Now, by the way, an old friend of ours is celebrating its 30th birthday this week. The Quiz Kids and I send our very best wishes to radio station WWJ, NBC's affiliate in Detroit, Michigan. Now, just think of it, folks. 30 years on the air, serving our Motor City friends. So, happy birthday, WWJ in Detroit, and many, many happy returns of the day. Well, say, now, here is a question. In what unusual ways do the sea hedgehog, the deep sea eel, and the coral fish protect themselves? Harvey.
Well... The deep sea eel has a double row of fins, and it can cut another fish in half with that.
Oh yes.
And then the sea hedgehog, when another fish swallows it, it's in an uncomfortable position in the fish's mouth. It blows itself up. And then the quills sticks through the fish's body, pierces through the skin, and calmly swims out.
Yeah.
Then the coral fish, it has something like the deep sea eel has only one set of fins, though. And when it rubs it on another fish, it poisons it because it has a poisonous pair of fins.
That's very, very good, Harvey. You bet. There really isn't anything more to add. No, sir. Now then, I'm sure you quiz kids and our listeners, too, will be as interested in our guest pianist as in this question. He's a former quiz kid, and before he moved to New York, appeared on our program often. He was only 8 years old then. Now he's 14 and has continued to add to his reputation as a pianist. He returned to Chicago not only to appear on our program, but also to play a piano concert from the central event stage of the Great Chicago Fair. And I'm sure you will be glad to hear again Shelley Davis. Well, how does it seem to be back in the Quiz Kids classroom, Shelley?
Fine. This is one classroom I've really missed in New York.
Well, we're mighty happy to have you with us. And now, kids, here's the question... It combines symphonies and baseball. If each of the following symphonies that Shelley will play was named for the baseball team that held the same position in the league standings as the number of the symphony itself, what might be the name of the symphony. Now, for instance, if Shelley played Brahms' Symphony No. 4 in E minor, it might be called the Red Sox Symphony or the Cardinals Symphony, since those teams are in fourth place in the American and National Leagues. Now, you catch on to the idea? All right, here we go. Now, Shelley, play the first one. Lonnie?
That's the Symphony No. 6 in B minor, the first movement by Tchaikovsky.
Right.
And the sixth place teams at the present time are the Chicago Cubs in the National League and the Chicago White Sox in the American League.
That's the boy. That's the idea. Uh-huh. All right, Shelley, let's have number two.
That's the opening of the Symphony No. 3 in E-flat major, the Eroica Symphony by Beethoven.
Right.
And the third place teams right now are, let's see, Boston in the National League and New York in the American League.
That's very, very good, Lonnie. Very good. And here's the last one.
That's Schubert's Eighth Symphony in B minor.
Right.
And the eighth place teams are the Philadelphia Athletics in the American League and the Pittsburgh Pirates in the National League.
That's right. Very, very good. Very good. That was a dandy question. Now, say, Shelley, as long as we have you at the piano now, young man, why don't you play a whole piece for us, huh?
Well, I'll be glad to, and if it's all right with you, since this is a Quiz Kids program, I'd like to play Dr. Gladys Ad Parnassum from Debussy's Children's Corner Suite.
Oh, excellent. And as you Quiz Kids know, that isn't as youthful as it sounds. Go right ahead, Shelley. Thank you very much, Shelley Davis. That was really wonderful. You know, it's so nice to have the former Quiz Kids come back from time to time so we can see how they're getting along. Be sure to say hello to your brother, your mother, and dad for all of us. Now then, kids, we're going to have lots of fun with this one. Oh, boy. You see, I cooked this one up especially for our all-boy board since we don't have any girls around to kid us about it. We're going to have a little practical test in cooking, to see whether any of you boys would make good chefs. Now, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I have a real good recipe here for an angel food cake. And, of course, you all know that the most important part of making an angel food cake is separating the eggs, that is, the whites from the yolks. Now, I will give you, each of you, 2 dishes and 3 eggs. And when I say go, we are going to see who can separate their eggs first. But now, wait just a minute. Maybe you little fellows haven't seen your mothers separate yolks from whites, so the chief quizzer is going to try and show you. I have never done this before. As you will probably see, and anything can happen, and, well, let's see now. Don't go anybody. You better stand back a little bit. There might be a slight spray. I thought at first this was a hard-boiled egg. Somebody would play the joke on me. Well, now, you see, here's what you do, kids. There's abs... There is a... Well, say, I'm not doing so good. Oh, dear, I dropped the whole thing down. Well, all right, that's a rough idea, kids. Now then, when I get ready, or when you're ready, you break the egg in half like I did there, only do a better job than I did. Now watch out for those eggs. Are you ready? Get set. Go. Oh, boy. Oh, say, the eggs are really getting the breaks. Yeah. Somebody missed the plate. The egg. Uh-oh. Joel dropped his all over his desk. Now he's trying to scoop it up. He throws his hands up and says, no. Oh, boy. Look at our... look at Lonnie. Lonnie's using both plates, and he's getting along pretty good. Who's finished first now? Who's... be careful, Frankie. I'm Frankie. Frankie, I'm afraid that... I'm afraid some of the yolk is on you. Oh, boy, say. Now, Joel and Lonnie are shaking hands, and I don't know why. I guess that's the bell. Saved by the bell. Nobody wins. It's a tie. And we have eggs here and there. And especially, I think the yolk is on all of you kids and myself, too. Well, I am too, Frankie. Yes, sir. You really handle that egg very nicely. Well, of course, the old school bell means that that's the end of class for today. And while we're waiting for the judges to make out today's report cards, I'd like to tell you a little bit about next week's program. Along with a lot of interesting questions, a little bird told me that we're going to have the lovely songstress, Miss Evelyn Knight, who is appearing at the Empire Room at the Palmer House here in the classroom with us. That should be very, very entertaining, quiz kids, and I'm sure you and our listeners won't want to miss next week's program. Now, let's see. Here are the grades. Let's see who wins today. And remember, whether you win or lose, you will each receive a $100 savings bond for your future education. You had one miss as a group, and after not thinking about the eggs at all, and after taking into consideration your age as well as the number of questions you answered correctly, the final report is Pat was first, Joel second, Lonnie and Harvey tied for third. So you four, together with Angus Paris Macias, 5 years old, we'll make up our class for next week when we'll expect all you listeners out there to be with us again. So until next Sunday then, this is Joe Kelly dismissing the quiz kids. Goodbye, kids.
Goodbye, Kelly.
Programs, get your programs here. The best in music is yours today on NBC. The Harvest of Stars presents soprano Dorothy Verenskjold and baritone John Tyers in a delightful 30 minutes of classical and semi-classical selections. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.